2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. We'll read these verses together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. Altogether, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for these verses, and thank you, dear God, for the people here this morning. I pray you'd anoint me with power from on high. I pray you'd give us all ears to hear. I pray, Father, we would be willing to do what you would have us do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, today was to be our annual Mission Sunday, and we were to have Brother May challenge us concerning what we could do to further the gospel around the world. Now, I, like many of you, were looking forward to Brother May being with us and preaching to us, but unfortunately, his wife's health prevented him from being here. And I know you're disappointed, because now you get to hear your own pastor. Now, I'll never forget hearing about missions as a young convert and having a desire to go to a foreign field as a missionary and reaching the unreached for Christ. I heard about the great needs of the gospel in Africa, Israel, Northern Ireland, the Middle East, the Far East, and the Russian bloc countries. And like the prophet Isaiah, I would cry out, "Lord, here am I, send me." My calling never put me on the mission field, but that didn't mean I couldn't assist others to fulfill what God had called them to do. I have been blessed in my life by missionaries. I was led to the Lord by a missionary named Rick Stuckey. I was called to preach under the ministry of a missionary named Rick Stuckey. I was led to leave my career in the Air Force under the preaching of a missionary director from a college, and even came here to pastor as a missionary spoke to a church where I was attending in Iowa. I happen to believe that faithful missionaries that are God called and doing the work of God are God's frontline soldiers, his special forces, and they are worthy of our prayers and they are worthy of our financial support. Since those of us who have not been called to be missionaries, it doesn't mean that we can't help others who are. While it is certain they coveted our prayers, it is also true that they need financial support to do the work God's called them to do. It is amazing how often giving is mentioned in the Bible and how often money and its proper use are found in the Scriptures. Yet many believers resent the preacher who dare brings a message on tithing, giving biblical instructions and principles on biblical stewardship. You may be one who questions, why is God so interested in our giving? And the following could be said of you. I wonder why the Lord did ask for tithes from you and me, when all the treasures of the earth are his eternally. And why should he depend on us to fill his house with meat, when we have so very little and his storehouse is replete? But he said to bring our little and he would add as much. Then all the heavenly windows would be opened at his touch. And blessings running over, even more than has been told, will be ours, but there is no promise if his portion we withhold. Are we afraid to prove him? Is our faith and love so small that we tightly grasp our little when he has freely given us all? Now, giving is a vital topic, It's an absolute essential in the Christian life, and it is an evidence of us growing in grace. Did you realize that just in the book of Matthew, that money is mentioned 109 times? In the book of Mark, 57 times. In Luke, 94 times. And in the Gospel of John, 88 times. I would say it is certainly a topic that God addresses quite frequently. Since the emphasis this Sunday morning is on missions, I'm going to be talking about the privilege of giving to missions, which is over and above the tithe and is given in a form of an offering. Yes, we are commanded to give. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 says this, "Will a man rob God?" And of course the answer is, yes. "Yet have ye robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Now that's a good question. And God gives the answer, in tithes and offerings. Now notice the result of them robbing God. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." And of course the storehouse is the church. "That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now these verses may scare some. Perhaps they even anger others. But no amount of twisting and turning can explain these verses away. And we ought to be consistent in our giving. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it tells us this. "Upon the first day of the week," what would that be? Sunday. "Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." We should also not only be consistent, but we should be committed givers, for we will want to be rewarded not only here on earth, but laying up treasures in heaven. Giving is a great privilege. It is our responsibility. And in the book of 2 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write two whole chapters dealing with this matter of giving above and beyond the tithe. In 2 Corinthians 8:24, he tells us it is a proof of love. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he writes this, "Every man according as he hath purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So God tells us that there are different ways to give in this one verse. He says, you know what? Some can give grudgingly. This is one who has a scowl on their face as the offering plate is passed toward them. It is the low point of the entire service for them, and they give as little as their conscience allows them. They pinch their pennies so hard that Abraham Lincoln's image is distorted, and they have the audacity to call a preacher a money grubber. One can give of necessity. They believe they got to. They believe the Bible says they must. It is a command, but they don't wish they had to. They give as an insurance policy solely because they don't want to be cursed by God. Then the giver that delights the Lord is the one who's cheerful. They look for the opportunity to give, and they find it a joy to give. They are thrilled to be part of God's work and given to mission so others around this globe can hear the message that Jesus saves. You know, every time I read one of these missionary letters from our missionaries and I read about souls being saved, I think to myself, I'm part of that. I'm part of that. You know, I give to missions. These guys are doing the work that God's called them to do, and they're adding fruit to my account. And I think, praise the Lord. It's amazing that the church of Macedonia was used as an example to motivate the Corinthian church to give. And what they did and how they gave certainly ought to motivate us today. Now, these people in Macedonia didn't really have much to give. The Bible says they were in deep poverty. And verse 1 and 2 of our text tells us, moreover, brethren, he's speaking to what? God's people. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, when you read the New Testament, you see there was a wealthy church. And that wealthy church was Laodicea. But they didn't do what these people did in Macedonia. These folks gave in their impoverished condition, not just to the power of their ability, but beyond. And notice what the next verse says. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. This church gave during a great trial of affliction, and they did so with the abundance of joy. They gave with much joy, even though they were in great affliction and in deep poverty. You know, it wasn't that they looked at their finances and figured out what they could do. Their great joy in giving overpowered what their little finances had. They wanted to have a part, and there was something, or should I say someone, inside them that gave them great, abundant joy in giving. These folks knew by experience that it was more blessed to give than to receive. The church of Macedonia practically begged Paul to receive this gift and have part of the offering. Verse 4 tells us that very thing, for there it is written, praying us with much entreaty. You know, Paul's saying, you know what, you folks are too poor. Keep what you got, but they're praying with much entreaty, asking and begging Paul to take it, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And when we give, we are ministering to the saints of God on foreign fields. So I'm asking you this morning, would you give joyfully to what God lays on your heart for missions? Would you be praying about it and then at the new year start giving to missions like God would have you give? This isn't just something the more affluent among us should be doing. But it is to be a great joy for every one of us to partake in missions giving and be committed to that giving what God would have us give all year long. You see, he has a heart for the lost, and so do these missionaries, and they certainly could use our support. Verse 5 goes on to say, and this they did, not as we hoped. In other words, it exceeded our expectations. It surpassed what Paul thought that these people would give. You may wonder, just what was it that caused them to be such joyful, liberal givers? I'm glad you asked. Because verse 5 tells us, notice this, but first gave them what? Their own selves, what? To the Lord. You know, joyous, generous giving is a natural outgrowth when you first give yourself to the Lord. When Jesus is first in everything, and he means more to you than anyone or anything else in the world, it becomes a joy to give and have a part in missions, which is near and dear to the heart of the Lord. Everything in the Christian life is about Jesus, about Him being first. You do know that many of the struggles we have in our lives as believers is simply because we haven't first given ourselves to the Lord. The Christian life is all about Him. It's not about us. This is why we find in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye, what? Not some other place on your list of priorities. Yes, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. James chapter 4 verse 7 reads, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now that would be the first thing, right? Then we are to what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8 of James chapter 4 says this, draw nigh to God, and he will what? Draw nigh to you. So first we're supposed to what? Draw nigh to him. Then what happens? He draws nigh to us. Everything in our Christian life begins with him being first. And in Colossians 1:18, and that's first Colossians, by the way, it is written that in all things he might have the preeminence. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, Paul is writing this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, listen, I beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, therefore, brethren, speaking to the saints, by the mercies of God, by all that God has done for you, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. This doesn't mean that, you know what, you're crazy for doing so. It means you're crazy for not doing so. So that's the first thing. Right? Then it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world. So if we do that, then we're not going to be conformed to this world, and we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then notice this, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So first, we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Then guess what happens? We will know what the will of God is for us, and we will find it good, we'll find it acceptable, and we'll find it perfect. Do you know why a lot of believers struggle with biblical standards? Separation? And holy living? It's because they have not first presented their bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And do you know why believers fuss and struggle when it comes to giving? You got it. It's because they have not first given themselves to the Lord. Now I want to ask you, can you remember a time in your life when you laid your all on the altar? When you died to self so you could live for him. When you said, Lord, I'm yours, and from this time forward, I no longer want my will done, but I want your will done. Can you remember that time? You know, before Abraham made the trek up Mount Moriah with his son Isaac and that amazing account of sacrifice, he was first willing to follow the Lord wherever he was supposed to go, even though he knew not where he was going. You remember Job, don't you? He first had to trust God in his trial, and because he did, he did not charge God foolishly and was able to maintain a good testimony, though everything he went through. But what did he do first? He trusted the Lord. Mary first sat at Jesus' feet, and the Bible says she chose a better part. She first gave herself to the Lord, then after her brother Lazarus came forth from the grave, she gives to Jesus a year's salary worth of spikenard and anoints the feet of Jesus with it. She first gave herself to the Lord, and then she joyfully gave her substance to him. Judas Iscariot was just the opposite. He chose money, 30 shekels of silver, over Jesus. Achan chose material things over the will of God and took what belonged to the Lord. And the rich young ruler, he chose possessions over salvation. You see, we have got to first give ourselves to the Lord, and then our generous, joyful giving will follow, and our struggle to live the Christian life will be over. Our giving proves the sincerity of our love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 and 8 tells us this. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? Oh, okay. I'm going to read about it. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and approve the sincerity of your what? Now that passage is all about what? Giving. Now if we are sincere in our love for the Lord and are sincere in our love for others, we are going to put our money where our mouth is. What we give and where we give reveals what our heart is set on. Does not Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount say this in Matthew chapter 6, 21? For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. So what does what you give say about you? When it comes to you doing your part and supporting the preaching of the gospel to every creature. Our giving also reveals just who or what our master is. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Folks, can I tell you? Sure I can, I'm the preacher. Money isn't worth serving. Jesus is, and we should obey him in giving to his cause. Another thing giving reveals, it lets us know where our faith is placed. Jesus, in the next two verses of Matthew chapter 6, goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You know, our giving sure does reveal a lot about us. But what does it say about you and me in particular? It does let us know where our heart is. If we value what is important to God, and that is the souls of men, it reveals who our master is and who or what we place our faith in. Connie and I have had hit rock bottom many times. We have hardly anything. I remember a time when we had a nickel in our checking account. A nickel. And we hadn't paid our bills yet. You say, what'd you do, preacher? We still tithe. And we still gave to missions. You said, how'd you make it? We looked to the Lord. And the Lord provided. But I learned a long time ago, I'm not robbing God for anything. I don't care how bad it gets, we're going to tithe. We're going to give. And we're going to make sure that missionaries are supported. We made a commitment. And we're going to keep it. Now it is interesting that after this Macedonian church gave out of their abundant joy, even out of their deep poverty. It goes on to say in verse 5, and unto us by the will of God. Missions giving is not about discerning the will of God on what He would have you give. But to do that, you must first give yourself to the Lord. So ask yourself, is Jesus who I'm living for? Have you allowed Him to rule and reign over your life? Like the Apostle Paul, have you cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is everything in your life about pleasing Him? Do you know it's not hard to begin every day reading His Word? Spending time communing with Him in prayer? It's not hard being faithful to church when you love Him enough to give yourself to Him. For that's what He wants for every believer. This means we won't try to fit Him in to our schedule, but we will fit into His. He must come first. And that would include our giving. And we first give ourselves to Him, we can experience great joy in giving liberally. Now, some of you may be thinking, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. And to give above that in the form of an offering is simply out of the question. Well, as far as I know, you may be going through some affliction. But are you experiencing a great trial of affliction? You may consider yourselves poorer than others in the church, but are you really in deep poverty? Which means rock bottom destitution. If those in Macedonia facing such circumstances were not hindered in their giving, why do we excuse ourselves from giving in the situation we find ourselves in? How could they so joyfully and liberally give? Well, they could because they first gave themselves to the Lord. When we give ourselves to Him, which, by the way, is a reasonable thing to do, it changes things. We will find it a delight to live for Him. We will delight in living separated holy lives. We will delight in renewing our minds with Scripture and making our requests known unto God, and it will be an easy thing to give what we have to the Lord and for His cause. A preacher of old told a story about a dream he had one night. In his dream, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, I want the keys to all of your life, so I can have complete access to you. He then handed the Lord all the keys, except one he kept in his pocket. And the Lord asked him, is this all the keys? He said, all but one. Then he said, the Lord gave him back his keys with the words, I want them all. I'm asking you this morning, have you surrendered your all to the Lord? Have you given yourself first to Him? If not, do it today so you, like the Macedonians, can experience abundant joy and scriptural giving to God's church and the missions. And in doing so, you'll help further the gospel and be adding fruit to your account. For after all, how then shall they call on Him who have, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Ask the Lord what he would have you do. But first, give yourself to him. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.